Okay, and welcome to Australia.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, who is our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be in your presence. Thank you for the gift of life. And thank you for the gift of salvation. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for calling us and inviting us into a glorious family, to be called the sons of God. Father, I pray that as we share the word of God, as your children, let your will be done and let your kingdom be established. Touch lives and transform lives for your glory. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed and depressed and frustrated be set free. Thank you for giving us this wonderful church, a truth-based ministry, carrying the glory of God. Thank you for giving us Pastor Paul and the beautiful mom and all the leaders in this house. And thank you for this great vision. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus if you're happy to be here. It's my honor and pleasure to thank God for Pastor Paul and our beloved mom for giving me this opportunity to share with you the word of God. It's not easy for somebody to trust you with his congregation that the Lord has entrusted him with. Amen. Because not everyone who says I'm a preacher is from God. We have many preachers, but we have few from God. And so it takes a heart of love for you to invite another man of God to minister. Can we appreciate our pastors with a better hand clap? Are you clapping or you are scratching hands? Can we do better than that? Can we clap better? Amen. I was made in heaven, dropped in Uganda, and positioned in Tanzania. I have a wonderful family, 5 good children, and 1 wife. My firstborn is 22 years, and the lastborn is 7. leading Stay Harvest International Churches and also leading Global Revival Campaign and Jericho Breakers International Prayer Movement. And I'm also leading the Livingstone Foundation, whereby we're taking care of the young children, which is a burden that God put on me because I was a street kid before. I lived on the streets for many years after being rejected by my dad. And by the grace of God, I happened to come to church. And here I am. And so, because of what I went through, sometimes God will allow you to go through a situation not to hurt you, but to empower you in order to help other people that may be going through the same situation. So God allowed me go there, live there, see the pain, the struggle, the suffering, so that when he helps me, I'll be able to help others. And by the grace of God, we're doing that, and he's been good to us. And over 600 children, 3 centers, and God is helping us. Amen. Now in Africa, if a preacher say amen, we reply and say amen. because it just means we agree. Amen. Now, the next few minutes, I want to share something very brief, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to speak about unlocking the supernatural. Unlocking the supernatural. First Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 4 to 16. First Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 4 to 16. The Bible says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Let me read it again. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that comes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Now, unlocking the supernatural, I came to understand that we have the spiritual world or the spiritual realm and the physical realm. And whatever happens in the physical is originated from the spiritual. And when you read and put concern on this portion of scripture that we have just read, you understand that if we are going to enjoy Christianity, then we got to operate in the spiritual. Amen. We are 100% physical, but we are also 100% spiritual. So we are two in one. That is why I have a confidence and a faith that none of you is going to fail in life, because you have any other side of you that your enemies may not understand. Amen. There are seven things that I want to show you shortly. If I'll not finish, I'll touch two or three and then we'll finish the others in the second session. Number one, if you are going to unlock the supernatural and begin to operate in the supernatural, the first and the most important is called prayer. Prayer is the life, I can call it life for a believer. A prayerless Christian is a struggling Christian. If you cannot pray now, then it means you're going to suffer later. But when you pray now, it means you are decorating your future and you are defining your future. Amen. I was born in a family which was a polygamous family and a family with the foundation of witchcraft. And so, my dad had three wives. And he was the poorest man on the village. But he had three wives. My mom and other two stepmoms. And both of the stepmoms were barren. And so they were so envious about my mom because my mom was giving birth. And so they bewitched my mom, and my mom became mad, and she died. She became mad, she got lost, and then she died. And then they manipulated, because witchcraft manipulates the minds of people. It is a system that manipulates the minds of people and draws people away from the knowledge of God. And so my dad, all of a sudden, he just said, "You're not my son. You're not supposed to be with us. You're not supposed to be here. Leave this place. Leave this home. Leave this family." And so I had nowhere to go. I had to run and get to the streets. I was 8 years old. Just imagine 8-year-old young boy. So I had to come out of the village and go to a certain town that was nearby and joined a group of the street kids that were living on the streets. And so, miraculously or divinely, there was this young man called James who was always passing by and gave me some food. Sometimes he dropped some bread for me, because I lived there many years. But God was looking for me, and he had to use somebody to bring me some bread. And so, as we developed a relationship and friendship with him, one day he told me, "There is somebody who is interested in you. And this man loves you, and I want to take you there, and your life is going to be good." And I said, "Nobody loves me. My dad don't love me. My family rejected me. So nobody loves me." And then he says, "I'll take you to the man." So he came, picked me up. We walked, because there are no car. We walked to a church. And then I said, "Who is interested in me?" And he said, "That man who is preaching knows the person that is interested in you." And so the pastor preached. After preaching, James takes me to the pastor, and pastor told me, "Jesus loves me." And I said, "Jesus don't love me. Because if he was there for me, he wouldn't allow me suffer all these years. Where was Jesus when all the things were happening to me?" And the pastor told me, "Jesus was looking for you. And today, he has found you. And so, I just wanted to make him happy by that time." And I said, "Okay, pray for me." But inside me, I know when I leave, I'm going back and do whatever I want to do in the streets. And so, I kneel down, the pastor prayed for me. And something crazy, or something significant, when he prayed for me, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I screamed, I cried, I spoke in tongues for over 30 minutes. I'm just down there screaming and crying and speaking in tongues. I didn't know what I was speaking about, because nobody told me about that. I'd never been to church. And so, I started leaving the church. Of course, at first they did not allow me to stay in the church. But after some time, they allowed me to stay. And this is what I learned The only thing I knew was prayer. Prayer was my food. Prayer was my blanket. Prayer was my bed. Prayer became my language. Prayer became my hope. Prayer became my everything. Walking, praying, sleeping, praying, thinking prayer. And God started revealing himself to me. I started seeing visions. I started seeing angels. I started praying for people and they get healed. And so I said, okay, now these things work. So I developed an attitude and I developed a character of prayer. That is since 1991. And I came to understand that prayer is a privilege to a believer. Prayer is not a burden, as some of you think. Prayer is a privilege. I take a prayer as an opportunity for me. It is an open check that God has given to the church. That's why the devil hates prayerful people, because the devil cannot pray. Satan has no one to pray to. So that's why he hates you when you pray, because that is the greatest privilege a human being can have. Amen? Amen? Pastor, these days when you call people for a prayer meeting, they don't come. If they come, they come late. You invite the whole church. We have a prayer meeting maybe on Thursday or on Tuesday, and you find 5 people coming. Invite them for a party. They will come in time and in big numbers, plus they will come in abundance. Because people like the carnal things more than they like the spiritual things. Amen? So I want you to make up a decision this morning and look at prayer as a privilege for you. Amen? I came to understand that the devil has no anti-prayer missile. The devil can resist you, can resist your words, can resist anything, but he cannot resist prayer. Prayer is a force that penetrates through the heavens and pull the heaven down. Prayer is a force which shapes destinies of people. Your destiny is shaped by prayer. Some of you, you get to heaven and be disappointed in heaven. Oh, Pastor Livingstone, how can I be in heaven and be disappointed? Because you'll get there and God will tell you, hey, son or daughter, do you see this anointing to raise the dead was supposed to be yours, but you did not ask for it. You see this big building in the city center was supposed to be yours, but you did not pray for it. You see this mega church in Sydney, a mega church with 50,000 people, you were supposed to be pastoring it, but you did not pray for it. Because what you pray for is what you receive. Not because God is not your father. God is in your father. And he wants to give you everything. But he wants to see your involvement.
He says you don't have in James chapter number 4 and verse number 2. He says you do not have because you do not pray. He said, and some of you, you pray and do not receive because you pray with a bad motive. So some of you have prayed and you did not receive the answer because the motive was wrong, and then you got discouraged and disappointed, and prayer became like a burden to you. Whenever they tell you about prayer, you feel, whenever I pray, I don't see breakthrough. Why? Maybe the motive was not good. A certain pastor, he was pastoring a church in Uganda. He had about 500 people. And he was a young man, a vibrant young man. And God was using him in miracles, signs, and wonders. And then he chose to go on the prayer mountain. And he told me, he said, Livingstone, I'm going to the prayer mountain. And I want this town to know that I'm the most powerful man in this town. And so he got the prayer mountain. He said, I will not leave the prayer mountain until I become the most powerful man in this city, in this town. And so he went in on the mountain, prayer and fasting. And after a short time, I could not see him. I thought maybe the man is still on the prayer mountain, seeking God. And all of a sudden, after some time, I'm walking around, I found him on the streets mad. He became mad. In fact, he's mad until today. We have tried to pray for him. People have tried to pray for him. And he's still mad until today. I don't know why. But the motive that took him to the prayer mountain was wrong. Another sister in our church was in the worship team. And she was the assistant worship leader. And she was doing better than the leader. If she could stand and sing, you could feel the presence of God. And the leader of the worship team, when she stands to sing, you don't feel anything. And so whenever she stood to sing, people were excited. But she's not the leader, she's number two. And then she went to the mountain and said, God, I want the position. I want to be the leader. And she was praying and fasting 3 days. And God appeared to her and told her, daughter, I've heard your prayer. But the position you were asking for, it is already occupied. If you need that position, pray for the one who is there to be promoted to another level, and then you shall receive the position. That is when I realized that for you to do better than your leader, it doesn't make you a leader. You may be doing better, but it doesn't make you a leader. Leadership comes from God, and it comes from above. Are you hearing me? Lift up your hand and shout hallelujah. Say hallelujah. God bless you, brother. Now, prayer becomes the labor pain for revival. Revival is birthed by prayer. Prayer proceeds revival. As women labors when they're about to give birth, that is what we call prayer, is the labor pain for the birth of revival. And if we want revival to be born in Sydney and in Australia, we will not just be talking about it. We got to pray and make it happen. Amen. It is high time that we stop just talking about things. We pray things in existence. We got to pray until revival comes. Hallelujah. Listen. Oh God. I'm about to finish. My country was a disaster because the king of the Buganda, of the Baganda, which is the leading tribe in the nation, was homosexual. And so 39 missionaries went to Uganda to preach, and he wanted to have an affair with them, and they refused. And so he killed them. 39. He killed them. And so a curse came on the country. Everything bad that you have ever seen in this world came to Uganda. Now, I come from a bad background, street kid, but I'm in a nation that has all these disasters. Number one, civil war for 30 years. People, there is one district. If you go there until now, the scars of people, they are just on the street. They just put them on the roads. Scars of people, millions of people died in war. This man who was leading the rebel leaders, one of the rebel leaders in the bush, he was asking people, what do you want? If you say you want to be happy, he cut off your lips and leave your teeth outside. If you say you want to be angry, he pierced into your mouth and put a padlock. And so most of the people in the northern Uganda, they are operated. And at the same time, I'll never forget that day. We were about 5 young boys on the streets. And then this army, the national army, thought that we are rebels because the rebels used to use children to come and put bombs. So they thought we are among those children, rebel children. And so they shoot on us. 5 of us, we all fell down. I thought I was also dead. Because the 4 died at the spot. And I'm the only one who survived. God had a plan for me, and he knew I'll be in the nation is proclaiming about this. Amen. At the same time, there is persecution. There was a president called Idi Amin Dada. Some of you read about him. He was a Muslim leader who wanted the whole nation to be Muslim. He was a dictator. And he was persecuting the church. He was killing pastors by a hook. Others could hang them by a hook. He put a hook in your stomach and put you up, and you die slowly. He was slaughtering people and remove the hearts of people and eat flesh. Because he believed that when he eat human heart, he can live longer. He could gather pastors and go drop them in the River Nile. And they die. And he said, let your God save you. And so the church is persecuted. The nation is in civil war. And then there is HIV/AIDS. When HIV/AIDS came, we thought it was witchcraft. Because people were dying like rats. 29%, which means wherever there were 10 people, 3 people are sick in the country. And then there was famine. There was poverty. There was crime. There was immature death. There was separation of families. Everything was in a mess. But we believed in God. And we said God can turn the situation around. I remember those days we used to go in the sea. You go in the water by the bank of the sea, and you sit and put your feet in the water and you pray the whole night, believing God for the turnaround of the country. I'll never forget when I used to go in the bush, hide myself in the bush for days with a small jerrycan of water, 7 days in the bush, praying, seeking God for the turnaround of my country. I was not a common man in the country. I was just a small boy. But I believed I can pray and God can bring a change in my nation and in my community. Hallelujah. As I speak right now, God has visited the nation. Revival has swept over the nation. Christianity has gone more than 80%. The president right now is a believer. The wife is a preacher. The daughter, the first daughter, is a pastor. She's called Natasha. She's pastoring a church. HIV AIDS has dropped from 29 to 4. And we are believing God for HIV AIDS free country. We will never stop praying until God turn around the situation. Are you hearing this? Lift up your hand and say prayer, 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 prayer. Oh, I feel the anointing of prayer. I feel the spirit of prayer coming over some people in this house this morning. Are you ready for this? Jesus. Now listen. The most cursing and frustrating situation in the life of a believer is when the presence of God leaves you and you don't know. Because sometimes when the presence of God comes to us, we feel it. Some of you fall down. Some of you scream. When you find me in my closet, in my prayer room, and I'm experiencing the presence of God, you may think I'm mad, because I'll be crying, tears will be coming, mucus will be coming out, saliva will be coming out, I'll be crawling on the floor like a baby. The presence of God. But something, I had a towel on this bag. In the bag, I had a towel. This one. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sweating. I have too much blood. Amen. I've enjoyed my stay in Australia. Amen. Now watch this. When the presence of God leaves you, you may not understand. Judges chapter number 16 and verse number 20. Just write it down because of time. Samson said, I will wake up and do as I normally do. The Bible says, not knowing that God has left him. Now, when you come to a level of discerning that the presence of God has left you, then that will be a force that will push you into the presence of God in prayer. Because we have many people, I call them spiritual casualties. The presence of God left them, and they went in a battle, and they were beaten, and they were hurt. And so spiritually their casualties. Are you following me? I want you to be very keen to these few words I'm speaking before we pray. Now we have many people that the presence of God is no longer with them, but they are still in a position. I always say that God is the only boss that can chase you from job and leave you in the office. He has chased you from job. He said, you're no longer working for me, but you are still in the office. You remain an intercessor. You remain a bishop. You remain a pastor. You remain a leader. You remain a singer. You remain a deacon. You remain an usher. Your position will be there. But when God is saying, you are in the office, but I've already disconnected you. It happened even to Saul. God disconnected Saul from being a king, but he left him in the office. So the problem that we have today is that we have left the place of prayer. And some of us, we are doing things by experience. And that is why we have become so religious. That you come sick and go back sick. You come depressed and you go back depressed. The problem is not the pastor. The problem is not the church. The problem is you. Because you left the place of the supernatural. You left the place of the spiritual realm. You left the place of the high authority. You left the place of power. You came out of the place of dominion. You left the place that is having the force to change situations. And so, you're moving physically. You're coming to church, but you left the place. God is calling the church of God in Australia and in the nations of the world to come back in a place of prayer, and heaven shall drop. Miracles, signs, and wonders shall happen. The sick shall be healed. The poor shall hear the good news of the kingdom. The crippled shall walk. The heaven shall be open over your life. Whenever you come in a place of prayer, lift up your hand and shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right in this room. And I hear God say, I'm tearing the heavens down. And the glory of God is coming. He says, I'm going to shake the nations and I'm going to shake the heavens. And I'm going to shake the earth and under the earth and fill my house with glory. And he says, the latter glory shall be greater than the former. My house shall not be as if it is a note, but my house shall be a place that is carrying the presence of God. Church is not church until it has the presence of God. What makes the church is the presence of God. Are you hearing me? What makes the church is prayer. When I was praying, seated here, I saw in the spiritual realm a river. I saw a river flowing. And then like, what is all this river about? Because it was just passing my eyes, seeing the river. Each time I open up my eyes and close, I see a river. But this is the time we are taking the Holy Communion. And then I said, what is this river for? And then I had a voice speak to my spirit that a river of life, a river of healing is flowing out of that altar. And many lives are going to be healed. Many bodies are going to be healed. Many marriages are going to be healed. Many relationships are going to be healed. Jesus, I wish you could feel what I'm feeling right now. How many are ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? I don't know much about this church. I've never been here before. But this is what I saw. And this is a point of advice. The more you worship and pray, the more the river shall flow. The river shall flow. And time has come that this church is going to be an answer to many questions of people. Because I see thousands and thousands of people drinking of the river and they are getting healed. Oh, Jesus. Somebody lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. Ekapra salala. Edela brole kala prosa leka bola katadalak. Zalam brole kala prosa leka prodo rasidiak. Sister, come over here. This sister here. Yeah, come over here. And somebody stand behind her. I feel something something special, something divine coming upon you. Jesus. Lada prosa la caprosoleca prototala siara. Just lift up your hands, everybody. Just lift up your hands, everybody. We got to finish this service. It is too short. La brasileca prosa. Sister, come over here. Sister, here. This one. The other one. The other one. Yeah, come over here. Just lift up your hand. Come over here and lift up your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. The Lord is shifting you into the supernatural. Because I heard your heart's passionate and hungry for the presence of God and for the power of the Almighty. And so I just stand as a servant of God to decree and declare that the heaven fill you. Leka prosotika protoka. Fill. The name of Jesus. Fill. Receive it, sister. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands, everybody. We will borrow 3 minutes from our time. Just lift up your hands and begin pray, 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 pray. Open up your mouth and pray. Ala kapra satika prata lata kaya ha. Zendale la pro la kapra salikata. I feel the impartation. I feel releasing the impartation of prayer and the anointing of prayer in this house. It's what brought me here. The anointing of prayer and the spirit of prayer shall come upon you. This morning, this day, Raseleka Protolea, lift up your hands wherever you are. Jesus, open up your mouth and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, Father. We got to move into the supernatural. We praying that you may empower us that we move in demonstration of power end of glory. The later glory that you promised us. We're lifting up our hands praying. Lela prasa leka raka prosto leka taha. Zeleleke proseteka prasaha. Lift up your hands and stand up. Lift up your hands and stand up. Just stand up. And lift up your hands. Jesus. There are a few people here. There are a few people here that have been believing God to be filled because they feel they are empty. They feel their vessels are empty. They need to be filled with the power. And there are a few people here. They are believing God to be the pillars of their families. And also to be end time revival carriers. They're believing God they're going to carry the end time revival to the nations of the world. I want those people in only 3 minutes to come over here. I want to pray with you. You believe in God that you are one of the people that are going to carry the end time revival? Do you believe in God to fill you? I want you to come in front over here quickly. I need to pray with you. Just lift up your hands. Others, keep on praying, keep on praying. God who remembered my country. Leke leke polota, lift up your hands above your head. Just open up your container, open up your heart, and God wants to fill you. Keep on praying. If you can pray in tongues, if you can speak in tongues, keep on speaking in tongues. Jesus. Jesus. Lift up your hands above your head. Let some ushers come with me. Some ushers come with me. Mama, receive it. In the name of Jesus. Mama, receive it. Receive it. Mama, receive it again. Receive it, my brother. Receive power. Receive it, my brother. Receive it, my sister. Receive it, my brother. Receive power. Receive power in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. The name of Jesus. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled, sister. Be filled, sister. Be filled, brother. Receive it. There is something significant about this young man. I see a strong prophetic anointing upon your life. And I see you operating in a supernatural. Hey, I see God opening your inner ears and your inner eyes. Receive it, brother. Receive power. In the name of Jesus. Receive it, my sister. The name of Jesus. Bring that brother there. That brother. That brother there. Receive it. Hey. Receive it, sister. Bring that brother. Receive it, brother. Receive it. Brother here. prepared. God has preserved you. You would be dead by now. But God has preserved you. You have gone through a lot. I see a lot of things that you have been through. And for you to live now is a miracle. But God has preserved you. And God is going to put everything in order. He's going to put your system in order. He's going to heal everything. He's going to set you from every kind of depression. And the Lord is going to anoint you and is going to use you mightily in your generation. Father, as I lay my hand upon this young man, I decree and declare the anointing of the Almighty and the fire of revival right in his life. Yes. Receive it. In the name of Jesus. Now we're going to take much time of praying in the next meeting. And I'll speak about the other six keys to unlock the supernatural in the next meeting. God bless you. Thank you for listening to me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful. All right, we're going to take a short break, 50 minutes. So keep praying. If you're hungry, which we are, come back. We're going to start sharp, 1 o'clock. Okay, bless you.